From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Rob Satter being the fabulous he could ever be. And so we appreciate that. Matt Cotrillo's on assignment. He's at the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce Transportation Committee meeting this morning and has our good intern Jordan with him. So we'll get lots of good information about area road projects coming up. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan is here. Professional movie critic is at website aisleseat.com. Staff writer for Ranker. Member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association and the Online Film Critics Society, winner of many, 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 many awards. How about that?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming in. We are going to hear all about Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix is supposedly the last X-Men movie for a while, and I think this is an excellent time for the franchise to take a break. Sophie Turner once again plays Jean Grey. While trying to rescue the space shuttle crew, she absorbs what appears to be a solar flare. Instead of killing her, it actually makes her stronger and, unfortunately, less able to control her anger. After discovering that James McAvoy's Professor X has hidden a secret from her since childhood, she goes off the deep end. You know that saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned? Well, hell really hath no fury like a mutant woman who's been betrayed by a bald British guy who runs his own school. If Dark Phoenix had been released shortly after the first X-Men movie back in 2000, it probably would have seemed awesome. The official Marvel Cinematic Universe, with rich plotting and characterization developed over the course of more than 20 installments, makes it feel somewhat outdated, though. Everything here has been done before and done better. The story is kind of muddled, the villain, played by Jessica Chastain, is underdeveloped, and the action scenes are just okay. On the plus side, Turner and McAvoy are good, making the battle between their characters fairly interesting. Dark Phoenix isn't terrible, it just pales in comparison to many other recent superhero flicks. But hey, at least it's a step up from X-Men Apocalypse. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2.5 Wolverines.
Oh my gosh, 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, this movie just feels a day late and a dollar short. Like I said, it's kind of basic, whereas the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies have become very complex and they've sort of advanced what the superhero genre could be. So this feels almost antiquated, seen in 2019.
And why is that?
I think that they've just sort of stuck to the same formula. I mean, these movies are not made by the Marvel group that makes Iron Man and Avengers Endgame and Captain Marvel. This is owned by 20th Century Fox, or it was up until this point. So it's a different group of people in charge of shepherding these characters to the screen, and I think that they have basically stuck with the same playbook they had in 2000, and this movie feels like it could have come out in 2002 as the first sequel to the original X-Men, and it would have been fine, but superhero movies have advanced since then, and this series has not changed and evolved, and so it just feels kind of stale. Like I said, it's not terrible. I sat there and watched it, and it was okay, but it's just not on the same level as what we're used to these days.
Well, that's a little disappointing because it's a great setup for a movie, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, a great premise for a, you know, a cartoon character, so to speak.
Absolutely, and fans of the comic books know that the Dark Phoenix story, there is no storyline in the X-Men comics more important than that one. That is one of the seminal story arcs of the X-Men. So they absolutely had the material here to make a very great superhero film, but they just made it in the same style that they were doing 18, 19 years ago, and it just feels, like I said, kind of antiquated.
And they are taking a break? That's official?
They are. The X-Men characters, 20th Century Fox's option on them apparently has lapsed, and so they will be reverting back to Marvel. And the folks at Marvel say that there will be, at some point, X-Men incorporated into the official Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I'm sure it will all look very different under their guidance, but we haven't seen the last of the X-Men. We've just seen the last of them for right now and in this form.
And do we miss them, I guess I want to say? I know the answer. The answer is not really, for the moment, anyway.
I mean, these are great characters. I'm a huge X-Men fan. One of my sons is named after an X-Men character, so that tells you something about how I like them. I just think that this iteration of them, yeah, we need to take a break from that. It's time to just chill out for a few years, let Marvel take it over, reconceive the whole thing and how they're going to do it on screen, and then bring it back in a big way. And then at that point, everybody will be really excited to see these characters again.
And how closely do, scratch that, what do we have to know about the comic book industry to follow this? I haven't read a comic book in years, but I like the X-Men. Mm-hmm. So the comic book industry will continue progressing, the X-Men at least in the comic book realm?
Yeah, absolutely. X-Men is one of the most popular comics out there, and there's several different versions of it that follow different characters or characters at different points in their lives. So in terms of the comic book history, it's a very important comic, and it's really one of the biggest comics and one of the first comics ever to incorporate social issues into the storylines, and so that has made it very special and very different. So I think it's going to continue to be just fine. I think the interest in the X-Men on screen is going to continue, but we just need to kind of take a breather here and let everybody, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So let's take a break from them for a little bit, then we'll all be really excited to see them again down the road.
And when we say comic books, mm-hmm. we are still talking about thin paper, couple dollar comic books.
Yeah, yeah, people they're still out there for purchase. And of course now with Kindles and things like that, you can read them digitally or on your laptop or whatever, so you don't actually have to buy them anymore, although there is something fun about holding one in your hands.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, plus it's super-duper portable. Kindle's kind of portable, but summer camp wouldn't be the same without comic books. I mean, holy smokes. Okay, so 2.5...
Wolverines.
Oh, all right. Thank you. New movie's out this weekend. We don't hear a lot of buzz about anything in particular.
This might be a slightly more quiet weekend, although there are three major releases, starting with Men in Black International. The Men in Black have always protected the Earth from aliens. In this new adventure, they tackle their biggest threat to date, a double agent in the Men in Black organization. Now, the Men in Black movies typically have done well, but Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones are not part of this one. They've been replaced by Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson, two very good actors, and both of whom, by the way, come out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Well, you'll probably see this one do a little less business.
Well, I hate to say it, but do we need another Men in Black film?
Not necessarily.
Okay, thank you. That's what I'm shooting for.
I've liked the series. I've liked all the movies, but these days we get sequels, and they're constantly trying to keep these franchises alive, and when they fizzle out or the actors don't want to do them, they try to cast new actors, and that's kind of what this is. So they're predicting a more muted opening for this one.
A more mutant, maybe. That's back to Marvel. We are talking to movie Mike McGranahan, winner of a Pennsylvania Associated Press Broadcasters Award, author of two books, Straight Up Late and In My Year of Chevy, in case you're curious who we're talking to. MIB International comes out. What else?
We also have Shaft. Samuel L. Jackson returns as John Shaft Jr., and this time he enlists his family's help to uncover the truth behind his best friend's untimely death. Now, Samuel L. Jackson last starred in a Shaft movie back in 2000. I don't know why they waited 19 years to make a sequel, but that, of course, was sort of a sequel/reboot to the original blaxploitation Shaft movie from the 70s. And finally, we have Late Night. Late Night talk show host Emma Thompson suspects that she may soon lose her long-running show, but new writer Mindy Kaling might be the key to saving it. This movie opened in 4 theaters last week, did bang up business, has great reviews, and this weekend it goes nationwide.
Oh, okay, so it's getting great reviews. I'm a skeptic. I'm wondering sort of what's the draw in here? Intrigue or just human drama?
A lot of things. I think there really haven't been a lot of movies set around a late night talk show, but Mindy Kaling is one of the funniest people on the planet. She also wrote the screenplay. And Emma Thompson is also one of the funniest people on the planet, although she's probably more well-known to Americans for dramas than for comedies. But here's a rare summer comedy with two female leads. It was written by a woman, it was directed by a woman, and it's set in a world that we don't normally get to see portrayed in movies. So I think there's a lot here to capture people's interest, and I've only seen the clips of it, the trailers and things, but it made me laugh out loud, so I'm excited to see the whole movie from start to finish.
All right. Sounds like fabulous. Okay, well, you talked me into it. Let's see. Entertainment news. Mm-hmm. Which will you see today? I always ask you that.
I'm seeing Late Night and MIB International today.
Busy Friday.
Busy day, yes. And I'm covering a film festival all weekend, too, so I'm really busy.
Without attending it, correct?
Right. I'm covering it remotely, so I get to watch all the movies with none of the travel, which works for me.
Or the crowds, or the waiting, or the hubbub, or whatever. All right. Spice Girls movie going to come out at some point?
Yes. Paramount Animation Funimation announced their slate of films that they're going to start releasing in 2020, and included among them is a Spice Girls animated movie. The Spice Girls are hot again. They recently reunited and just embarked on a world tour that just started like a week or two ago, I believe. And all five members are on board with this project. They're going to provide the voices, and the movie will incorporate both classic songs and new Spice Girls songs. So if you're a Spice Girls fan, this is really something to celebrate. And I have to ask you, Mark, who's your favorite Spice Girl?
Oh, who's one of them? Married a soccer player. I forget her name.
That would be Victoria Beckham, a.k.a. Posh Spice.
Yeah, thank you. She would be the only one I kind of know. Can you say you know her if you can't think of her?
Right.
Okay, I would think that's the only one I know. I have seen other ones, though. I would recognize. If they were lined up, I could point them out and say those are them. Okay, and so that's probably going to be a G-rated.
Yeah, probably G or PG-rated, aimed at... Well, I shouldn't say it's going to be aimed at girls because they have a lot of fans of all ages around the world. I mean, I always like their music. I consider myself a Spice Girls fan, so I would line up to see that movie. Out of sheer curiosity.
Not to be sexist about it, but the grown-up girls are five pretty girls singing, so what's wrong with that,
yeah.
You know? Let's see. And so that'll be for kids, but not so true, the Banana Splits movie that's coming out.
Yeah, do you remember the Banana Splits, that kid show that ran from 1968 to 1970?
A little.
I watched this show faithfully as a kid, and it had four main characters. They were people in costumes. It was Flegel, Bingo, Drooper, and Snorky, also referred to as Snork in the opening credits. They dropped the Y. But there is an R-rated horror movie about the Banana Splits coming out. They've completely reimagined this thing. Parents take a little boy to see a taping of the Banana Splits show for his birthday, and it turns out that the Banana Splits are just crazed killers who proceed to unleash a lot of carnage and mayhem. So I am incredibly intrigued by this concept. The trailer for it is online. It looks like it could be a lot of fun. So an R-rated Banana Splits.
Oh, all right.
Not for kids anymore.
I was just going to say, but somehow they'll sneak in and they'll see it anyway. Movie Mike McGranahan, thank you so much for coming in.
Always fun to be here.
Very much appreciated. He's going to two movies this weekend, MIB International and Late Night, so you should pay attention to @IsleSeat on Twitter and check out IsleSeat.com later this weekend. Both reviews will probably be up. And his sponsor today, Campus Theater, campustheater.org.